What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 149 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by my partner in crime. No, that crime spree of the 7-Elevens being robbed in the D.C. area, it's definitely not us, but he is my partner in crime. It is the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
And now, wait a minute, is that actually a thing?
No, I completely made that. That's actually a long-running joke in my own personal family here. Back in high school, whenever my sister would go out with her friends, the joke was they're going out to rob a 7-Eleven. And for like four times in a row, a 7-Eleven got robbed when they said that. So there was just kind of like something fishy is going on here. Like there's some kind of weird correlation to this. And I'm not quite sure if my sister's a criminal or not. But she was exonerated. It wasn't her friend. So we're good to go.
So what you're saying is we're not going to go to 7-Eleven after this recording.
No, definitely not. We're not going to 7-Eleven. That would be a bad idea, in all honesty, especially after that horrific intro I gave you. Nation, make sure you follow the show so you can keep up with all of the shenanigans on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. It's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, why not give Joey a follow? He needs some followers. You can find him at Courtside King. And while you're at it, if you feel generous, give me a follow, too. That's at Fiasco. If you are watching live on Twitch, welcome to the live stream. You can find those handles below those horrific mugshots you're currently staring at on your mobile device, streaming device, or PC, tablet, you know, all the fun stuff. And if you're listening on a podcatcher of choice later on down the road, they will be in the show notes for you below. And Nation, while you're at it, why not leave us a review on that podcatcher of choice? Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews do go a long way to help the show grow and reach new listeners. When you do have a moment, we would appreciate you taking the time out of your day to leave us an amazing review. Joey, no stretching on the show. Absolutely unacceptable. Nation, the world has crowned a new champion in League of Legends. Up next for a league? How about the offseason that is already heating up quite a bit with a couple wolf bombs today that came out, including a nice $2 million contract for a top laner. League of Legends is just a little smidge of what we have on the show for you this week on episode 149. Joey, what else are we talking about this week?
Apparently, I may have missed one of those. I didn't see that one. On top of that, we do have some other roster moves. So League of Legends, obviously moving into free agency. There's a lot of big moves there, but a few other ones here and there, especially in the FIFA world. On top of that, we have some big partnerships to talk about that happened last week. We are a week off recording, so we're catching up a little bit on this episode. So a lot of exciting stuff, and we did have the finals of League of Legends Worlds as well.
All right, Joey, it is going to be a spicy episode. I can feel it. I can feel it deep inside. This is going to be amazing. But of course, with an amazing episode, amazing topics, we need to have an amazing drink of choice segment. So, Joey, for the 149th time, your beverage of choice, please.
John, I'm going with a Yingling.
Classic.
A little traditional lager from Pennsylvania.
A nice little East Coast classic. I do not believe it is available anywhere like west of the Mississippi. So for all of our far Midwestern states and West Coast, you guys are missing out. But yeah, come on to the East Coast. Get yourself a Yingling. Joey, I am continuing my fancy streak. I'm having a lovely wine. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon again. St. Francis right there. It's from California, the Sonoma County. It's a lovely 2016.
Good choice. Classic.
Beautiful. Cheers. So we're just going to... Adult grape juice all day, every day. Joey, you have your Yingling. I have my amazing wine. I think we should just jump right into gaming and esports news. How about that?
Sounds good to me, John. And we're going to jump in with a spicy one. One of FaZe Clan's Fortnite pros, one of the better pros in Fortnite in the world, Jarvis, has been banned after being found to have used an aimbot. He has come out afterwards and said he claimed to have only used it in casual solos and playground mode. At the same time, a pro using an aimbot does not look good, John. What are your thoughts on this one?
Look, you're an influencer. That's the thing. Like, even though you weren't using it in a pro scene, you weren't using it in a tournament, it's still against the game's terms of service. You can't use a third-party software to give yourself an unfair advantage. You know, it's the big argument here is that there's some kind of double standard that, you know, the average Joe doesn't get, you know, gets away with this kind of stuff because they're not in the spotlight. They're not getting the thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of views. So it's kind of a double standard. Well, yeah, it kind of is, and it kind of has to be. If you let a pro or someone who's a major influencer in the gaming world get away with using an aimbot, even though it's not competitive, it's not used in a tournament for money or anything, you're still sending the wrong message. Like, now, this goes to a deeper argument of should 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds be, quote, gaming role models for younger gamers? You know, that goes to a deeper issue. But from a competitive standpoint, from a terms of service standpoint, he's in clear violation. And yeah, I'm sorry, he deserves the punishment.
I'm a little mixed on this one. I completely agree. I think going against the rules like that, he definitely deserves the punishment. I don't know if he's telling the truth about as far as where he used that aimbot either. But when it comes down to it, a lifetime ban on a 15, 16-year-old seems a bit harsh to me. I feel like I want a ban. I want a lengthy ban, but I'm thinking 6 months to a year for a first violation, especially if he's able to prove where he used that aimbot at.
I mean, can you really believe him, though? And let's be real here. Would he have even been caught if he didn't post that stupid video? Like, all of this goes on him. He may have gotten away with it if he didn't post it. If it was just between him and his friends, you know, maybe it wouldn't have dinged in the software or the programs or anything. Maybe Epic wouldn't even noticed it. But the fact that he's using the aimbot, exploiting the game and posting it and essentially getting paid for posting a manipulated version of the game, you know, yeah, he deserves a ban. What I do agree with you, I don't think a lifetime ban. I think that's harsh. I think that's incredibly harsh. I do think it should be a lengthy ban from the competitive scene for sure. I don't want to compare him to like the toxicity of like a Tyler One or anything, but even he was banned for a couple of years for that toxic behavior. I feel like something like this, you know, whether we believe him that it was in like in a sandbox or a non-competitive mode or anything like that, whether we actually believe him or not, a lifetime ban, I think, is way, way, way too strict on this kid. And, you know, but again, he does deserve some kind of punishment. I mean, let's be real here. Common sense. Don't post videos of you using hacks. I mean, come on.
Right. I think 6 to 8 months, maybe even up to a year for the competitive scene is what you ban him here. But a full lifetime ban on something like this. Again, we're going off of his word here. He could have used this in competitive play. And if they do have reasonable proof of that, I think a lifetime ban becomes a lot more reasonable in that sense, at least from competitive play. But when it comes down to something like this, where if he did just use it in casual and playground, again, it's not great. It's definitely something a pro should not be doing. But at the same point, this guy's 15 to 16 years old. He is still a minor. He's still learning what he should do and shouldn't do. I mean, obviously, this is basic knowledge. Using an aimbot is not a good thing. At the same point, this is his livelihood in a sense at the moment, because he is giving up schooling, he is giving up time to play this game. And yeah, it sounds all fine and good, but it also, there's hours of practice that's involved. There's content creation involved. It is work as well. So I want to see a 6 to 8 month ban. I hope they do reduce this. At the same point, I do like the fact that Epic is cracking down regardless of really the number of subscribers, the level of content creation from these players. Let's jump into those wolf bombs, John. So League of Legends, I didn't hear a few of these at the end of today. One of the ones I did hear, and this one impacts that flag behind you to your right. Let's talk Evil Geniuses and Cloud9.
I don't want to.
Supposedly, if Jacob Wolf is to be believed, which in most cases he's the guy to go to, he has said that Evil Geniuses has verbally agreed to facilitate a transfer with Cloud9 that will see their jungler Sven Skaren as well as their support Zazel move over to Evil Geniuses. But that's not all, John. They're also going to take the Academy top laner Kumo and Deathly, the AD carry, who many believed was going to take over for Sneaky in that starting role come next season. This is a lot. These are big, big moves. Cloud9 potentially losing four players here.
It's massive. I'm actually kind of curious as to what Jack from C9 is going to do with this. If this is true, if this does come to fruition, again, it's not a done deal, but it is a fairly significant rumor from someone who's incredibly trustworthy within the esports scene. It hurts as a Cloud9 fan. Cloud9's done this before with other rosters and other game titles, and it hasn't really worked out all that well. So I'm a little nervous about this one. The bearded god himself leaving Cloud9, that stinks. You know, Cloud9 gave up. Oh my gosh, what in the world is his name? It's a drink, smoothie. There we go.
Smoothie, yeah, yeah.
And he goes to brain fart. Gives up smoothie, and he goes to that team that shall not be named with the three initials. And then Zyzel comes up. You know, he proves his worth. He has an amazing split with Cloud9. He plays well at Worlds. He has so much potential, and now we're going to ship him off? Like, is Cloud9 trying to get under some kind of luxury tax? Like, is this baseball, like you're over your luxury tax for the third year in a row and you get slapped with another tax on it? I just don't understand this move. You know, Cloud9 constantly tells their fans, you know, hey, don't overreact. You know, ultimately there's an end game in mind. But it's hard when, you know, rumors are coming out that you're giving up four of your players, two of which have high expectations to take over starting roles on the main team from the academy side. So, it's tough. It's tough.
Okay, so here's what I think is going to happen. I think these players do move. I think this verbal agreement becomes a real agreement. I think Cloud9 looks European here. I think they're going to look for something like a Reckless Hillsong if they can buy them out of their contract with Fnatic. I could also see them looking at Kabi over there at Splice. He is out of contract, so he is available as a free agent. I think he would be a really, really, really good bargain pickup for C9. That would also mean Sneaky does move. If I'm C9, I say, hey, Sneaky, I think your time on the pro stage is coming to a close. Let's make you a full-time streamer and cosplayer. You're killing it in that area. You're just not there mechanically anymore as a high-level ADC. So I think you really go for a pair from EU. Now, America has done that before. We saw it with TSM. They tried to do it with Sven and Mythy, and it did not work in their favor very well at all. They did well for a while, but then it just kind of deteriorated. I think Cloud9, they have more of a built-in coaching foundation there with Reaper, and I think they could really, really do well with an ADC support combo from EU. So if these moves prove to be true, I hope that's the way they end up going.
I would take them buying out Reckless. That's completely fine.
Yeah, that's a little less likely to me. I think Reckless does retire with Fnatic, but I would not be surprised. He has looked at NA before. NA pays a lot of money. At the same point, I think Kabe would be a really, really good pickup. Either one of those I think would be great moves for C9. Okay, now the other one I didn't hear about here, John, was Huni. So it does sound like, according to Jacob Wolf, I believe it's a two-year contract, $2.3 million on the line for Dignitas to re-sign Huni as a free agent, moving him to be their top lane for the next 2 years. I think that's a good deal for Huni. I think Dignitas is overpaying quite a bit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, essentially what you're paying for is a guy that has a major following across the world. Again, he was part of that 18-0 historical Fnatic team, and at the time the EULCS, you know, and he played out of his mind. Yeah, he had some bad games, but mainly he's known for his incredible high-risk, high-reward plays in the top lane. He went over to Korea. He played for SKT, a dream of his, and he did well. He didn't win a world championship, but he still played well. Comes to North America, stays in North America, and... Well, okay, pardon me. He comes to North America after Fnatic, then goes to SKT, then comes back after the whole Immortal thing. But it's good. It's cool. It's great. You know, it's good for Huni. I do agree. $2.3 million, a two-year contract, that's essentially $1.15 mil a year if it breaks evenly. That is a lot. I mean, great for esports. Like, if there's money like that, pay your players by all means, but my God, that's a major payday for Huni.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge payday. And don't get me wrong, Huni is great. He comes with a lot of experience, and he comes with a champion pool that most top laners cannot fit. But in signing a player like this to that big of a contract, you're almost saying he's going to be a carry for us up in the top lane. And that's very possible with Huni's champion pool. But the other thing to look at, John, is how is the meta going to play out? In a lot of these recent metas, top lane has only been able to do so much. It's been hard for real carry top laners to establish their style in most of the meta as of the last season, maybe two seasons, outside of a few players like the Shy. Noggery has done well as well over on Damwon. When you look at that altogether, 2.3 is just a very, very high valuation for me. So I like it in signing Hooney. I think he's a very marketable player. I think he's very talented. But unless you're also going to bring on a very high-powered jungler and really bank on the top being a big, big changer in the next meta, which is possible with the map changes coming in, with top lane being a little different as far as the lane build-out goes, I could see it paying off. At the same point, you're investing a whole lot of money into one lane. And overall, free agency is set to open up November 18th. So a little over a week left before that happens. And I think one of the big things we're going to see is a lot of these early deals drop off right then. But then on top of that, some of these deals will be dragged out between that date, with about mid-January is when it closes. So we do have quite a lengthy window. Some changes happen early on, some changes happen later on. A lot of players are still under contract with these teams. So there's going to be some early shifts with those players that are automatically out of contract, but then the other ones are going to take a bit longer for those negotiations, as many players are signed through 2020 and 2021 so far. So we'll see how it all breaks down, but I'm excited for the offseason. I think Jacob Wolf is too, and that is the Twitter to check out. OTN Media is great, but Jacob Wolf is the guy to be.
And Jacob Wolf is doing, I think for the first time ever, he's been trying to do it for a while, and actually he told us about this down in Atlanta too, Joey. He's going to be doing a free agency and signing show for League of Legends. He teased it on Twitter several days ago when he took over Woj's studio at the ESPN headquarters up in Connecticut. So that's really cool that he'll be doing a live stream covering all these moves, all these trades. It should make for great entertainment. And, you know, Joe and I, you know, you and I, Joey, are big fans of Jacob Wolf and his work. I know I'll be tuning in for it, so that will definitely be cool for live, up-to-date information breaking on that cool live stream.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure he's going to be making phone calls on there as well. He'll be the guy that's calling owners, calling players, trying to make those contacts and trying to get that information early on. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Future FC has signed Tekka 66 as their FIFA player. She'll be the second full-time female FIFA player in the world, so really exciting stuff there. FIFA being one of those sports titles that's really grown incredibly as a worldwide scene, especially in Europe. I feel like so many different clubs and organizations are jumping into FIFA over in Europe. Tekka being a female player and being the second full-time one at that, I think is really great for the female FIFA players continuing to break into the scene.
Yeah, it's great. It's a sign that equality when it comes to gaming and esports is still thriving. I mean, esports still has a long way to go. But it's great to see more female gamers get to that pro level. So that's awesome.
And just a shout out to our audience here live with us at Twitch. Our voices are a little rough today. We did quite a bit of shoutcasting this weekend for the NBA 2K League and Wizards District Gaming, as well as DC United's FIFA tryouts. So we're a little rough in the vocal area at the moment, and same for the listeners who are not listening live. So bear with us as we cough and choke through a little bit of this here and there.
I'm at least being kind enough to mute my microphone when I have to cough.
Yeah, well, some of us can't find a mute button on our mixer, so the struggle is a little real. Fnatic has signed a FIFA player as well. Outside of their partnership with Roma that exists, there's about 2 to 3 players under partnership there. In addition, Fnatic is signing their own sole FIFA player, Tex, arguably the number one player in the world on the sticks. And he already proved his worth, John. In the first Champions Cup of the FIFA 20 season, Tex came home in first place. He did win it, and that is Ultimate Team for the FIFA players out there. The Foot Champions Cup of the FIFA 20 season, played this last weekend, has Tex as the winner, now under that Fnatic banner. Whoop, whoop.
you and your Fnatic bias on this show.
Hey, yo,
that,
you know.
That Xbox.
We got to do it where we can. speaking of Fnatic, though, John, I'm excited to see you in their new Hello Kitty jerseys, is what I believe is going to be announced here. A full reveal of the partnership is scheduled to debut on November 15th when Fnatic and Hello Kitty get together for the announcement. I don't 100% know what to expect here. They've done some wallpapers with Hello Kitty and gaming headsets, Hello Kitty with gaming controllers. One of the things that I did see a little bit of a video tease of was Broxah and a few of the other players in pink and black jerseys. So I think we might have some Hello Kitty jerseys incoming here.
I hope not. I honestly think you
need to be wearing a Hello Kitty. Maybe it'll be Fnatic and C9 Hello Kitty. Heyo.
So first off, I'm bringing this back up. I grew up in Korea. Hello Kitty was everywhere in Korea. It was everywhere in Japan when I went over to visit. I am so sick and tired of Hello Kitty. There are so many other characters in the Hello Kitty universe that don't get the love and attention that Hello Kitty itself gets.
Okay, time out. How much do you know about the Hello Kitty universe?
I'd really not want to get into this, but yeah, again, you have to understand I grew up with this. Unfortunately, it was everywhere. Chad is roasting me right now. That was a very in-depth answer. It was. I mean, there are, look, it's like everything else. There's other characters. Why just focus on one? Don't shoot the messenger for expanding your horizons to other characters in the Hello Kitty universe. I don't know their names, so there's
okay,
that.
Okay, time out. I've never seen this. Is the cat's name Hello Kitty?
Yes, the cat's name is Hello Kitty.
So is there like Goodbye Dog? Is that another character?
No,
give me something. Give me a
name. I know there's a penguin. I don't remember the penguin's name, but I remember there's a penguin.
My
like
gosh.
All the girls liked Hello Kitty and all the guys liked the penguin. Like
how can you be our level up Hello Kitty expert with little knowledge like that?
I'm not the expert. I never claimed to be the expert. What is this expert crap coming from, Joey?
I'm sure you have a pop of Hello Kitty over there somewhere.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
No, I'm joking. No, okay, I like this partnership overall, though. And I think one of the big reasons, and this is really where I think this is coming from, part of it is to reach out to more female audiences, with Pink Kits in particular. But I think the other big move, John, is Fnatic has been expanding into Japan. They continue to make a lot of movement over there. I think this partnership is to really expand their presence over there.
Yeah, and you should. I mean, it's a great gateway to open yourself up to a larger audience. Gaming companies in Asia have already brought in Hello Kitty to help promote certain things, certain products, certain games. So it's nothing new. The big thing here is that now we're expanding outside of the Asian countries, and now we're going to, you know, Hello Kitty is going to be marketing with Fnatic, arguably one of the largest esport organizations in the world and arguably the largest in Europe. So that's pretty good. You know, again, it's nothing new when you look at how Hello Kitty has interacted in the Asian markets, but it is new coming to the Western world. So it should work. It definitely would work. Hello Kitty is still... I can't gauge how well Hello Kitty's doing in North America. I don't really pay attention, contrary to what chat is saying right now on Twitch. I don't really pay attention to the Hello Kitty scene. So it'll be kind of unique to see how this plays out in the Western world with this partnership. But yeah, cool. Congrats, Joey. Hello Kitty and Fnatic.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect move over there.
Oh,
hey-o.
I'm gonna go jump off a bridge real quick. I'll be right back.
Well, maybe you'll have the courage to do that, because Courage has signed with YouTube. He will now stream there exclusively. John, the streamer wars continue, and this is YouTube saying, hey, we're still here, we're still ready to compete. We've seen Mixer sign Ninja, we've seen Mixer sign Stroud, two of the top three performers on Twitch, the one and two, actually, when they were over there on Twitch. And Mixer just keeps signing people up over and over. YouTube Gaming fell apart. It's no longer there. But YouTube Streaming is still doing really well. Signing Courage is YouTube saying, we are ready. We are coming for Amazon Twitch. We are coming for Microsoft's Mixer. We are ready to compete at the highest level as far as videos. We're already dominating the video publishing market. Why not continue to jump into streaming and do it a little cleaner this time with someone like Courage alongside them? I really like this move from YouTube.
Yeah, it's definitely a great move from YouTube. YouTube Gaming, while it was a good effort, I just don't feel like that the technology for YouTube was there at that point in time. YouTube realized that. They took a step back. They figured things out. And hopefully the second version of YouTube Gaming for live streaming and gaming content will be a lot better this go around. I'm kind of shocked it wasn't as good as it should have been the first go around, with how major of an influencer site that is when it comes to videos and everything else that gets posted there. So it'll be interesting. And I think this is a good sign for YouTube. Again, taking down Twitch is going to be difficult, but YouTube has a unique market already that has millions and millions and millions, if not billions, of people going to that site watching videos. So the audience is there. Now you just have to figure out how to get them to watch live gaming content on your platform. So YouTube is in a good position for this. They just have to finish that equation to figure out how they can essentially make themselves better than Twitch. You know, the streaming competition is becoming incredibly gutsy. And this is another great move. We're seeing exclusive signings for gamers going to these platforms. Joe, you mentioned it. with Shroud and Ninja going to Mixer. Those were absolutely massive. And now we're seeing it with YouTube Gaming, the second version of it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the long run. Again, I do think YouTube, if any site, would be the one that can directly challenge Twitch if they can figure out that equation to get their millions of and billions of viewers to watch that gaming content.
Now, I love to agree with you, John, but I'm going to have to disagree here. I don't think anyone is going to compete with Twitch. I really don't think in the live streaming world anyone has a chance to compete for the next 2 to 5, maybe even 3 to 5 years at most. I think we're going to still see a lot of movement. YouTube's going to sign exclusive deals. Mixer will sign exclusive deals. Caffeine's already started with Misfits over there as well. When it comes down to it, until these eSport League contracts start to buy up, until they start to end, I think that's when we see big movement. I think a lot of the big, like if you look at Twitch's numbers, the majority of their viewership is based on eSport leagues. League of Legends pulls in the top monthly viewers every single time. CSGO pulls in a ton. Dota 2 pulls in a ton. If you can pull eSport League contracts as they expire, if one of those goes to Mixer or YouTube, then it becomes a whole different ballgame. Twitch will still dominate in independent streamers. It was the first. It was the biggest. It's going to continue to be the first and the biggest for years to come. But whoever starts pulling in the eSport contracts, particularly stuff like League of Legends, CSGO, I think those would be my top two. Dota 2 would definitely be up there. Overwatch League would be a huge one. I think that's a multi-year deal with Twitch. If those fall in other hands, then we see big movement. On top of that, I do have a few sources out there. I've heard there are a number of other streamers being signed. Twitch is signing a few of them. I've heard YouTube is signing one or two other big ones, and I've heard Mixer has their hands for about 5 to 10 other big ones in there. So I think we're going to see a lot more streamer signings, particularly on Christmas. And then as we head into next year with different releases as well, I know some of Mixer's are going to drop in the first quarter of next year. I think we're going to see even more drop toward the third quarter, fourth quarter as they get ready for Halo's release as well. So exciting stuff ahead. I think all three platforms are going to grow. I think Caffeine, unfortunately, is going to get left in the dust of them. I just don't think the funding is there. But when it comes down to it, if you're looking at traditional, the number of streamers and the number of viewers, I think Twitch is still going to continue to dominate for years to come.
You think Caffeine's going to go the way of Facebook Gaming?
I think Caffeine is going to be like coffee after you leave it out for about a day and a half. It's going to be cold, and its caffeine is going to be a little low on the intake. It's a great platform. I think it's nice. I think it's clean. I don't think it has the money backing it to really compete with these giants of Microsoft, Amazon, and Google.
That's a very interesting analogy you use, sir. I'm going to let you go and ride that one out, and we'll see how that plays out.
I will sip it on down, John, because we're heading over to Halo and Twitch Esports. They're teaming up for Twitch Rivals Legends of Halo. It's going to happen tomorrow, featuring legendary Halo players teaming up with top streamers to compete in Halo Reach on PC. This, to me, is an interesting move, not because of the event itself, which I do find rather exciting. Halo Reach is getting ready to release on PC. This is a bit of a tease for that, as well as getting those legendary Halo names back in. But I'm very interested to see that it's on Twitch and that the tournament's not being held on Mixer. I think that shows that at least these two companies are still jovial and willing to work with one another. Anything else on that, sir?
They should go to YouTube.
Oh, my gosh. They didn't sign the deal. Vitality. So Team Vitality headquarters over in France. They have now opened a new headquarters in Paris, a 10,700-square-foot complex, with offices, gaming centers, and a merch store. So big moves from Vitality. Additionally, they have also announced a multi-year partnership extension with Adidas and have raised another $16 million from a gaming fund Rewired. So Team Vitality really making big moves, John, and I think the big thing about the moves from Vitality are the fact that they are centered in France and they are continuing to go for that French market. They're not trying to overstep their bounds. They're not saying, hey, let's continue to expand into England or Spain or all these other European countries that already have big name esports organizations. They're saying, we are the team for France. We are the best French esports team, and we're going to continue to expand in our own market and make it the best we can. I really, really like that mentality.
Lock down your market. Smart move. I'm too busy interacting with Twitch chat. Sorry.
Yeah, we're recording a podcast.
We're talking about your puns.
Well, unfortunately, our listeners, where the majority of them are not in Twitch chat, cannot hear you typing over there.
This is fair.
G2 Esports, they have partnered up with MasterCard prior to the world's final match. MasterCard might have rethought that after that match against China's Fun Plus Phoenix. As part of the deal, Caps' father will be featured in MasterCard's LOL-focused series. I think this is a really good move by G2 and MasterCard in general. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think MasterCard is a worldwide sponsor for League of Legends, correct? For their esports scene?
I believe so.
So this is just an additional partnership on top of that. If anyone's seen videos of Caps' dad or watched his tweets, he's very entertaining. He's one of the funniest guys out there, and he has a lot of support for his son Caps in the scene. He seems to be at every match, it feels like. If he's not there, he's at least tweeting or making a video about it. This is a really, really good move for MasterCard, because not only are you jumping into the scene and continuing to dive into a scene of League of Legends and esports in general, but you're finding a parent that's really fun to connect with, and you're finding a parent that really supports their son playing esports. So I think MasterCard really hit a gold mine on that one.
And the fact that G2 lost the world championship is the reason why I still use Visa. There you go.
Oh my gosh, you're too much.
I'm too much.
You're too much. That's from a Christmas movie. I don't remember which one. Excel Esports. See, this is what happens when we cast too long and we're a little tired. Excel Esports welcomed their new official online payment partner, NeoSurf, this week as well. I've never heard of NeoSurf, John, but I don't think there's anything bad about signing a sponsor, especially an online payment one.
No. Sponsors, income is income. This isn't as weird as, let's say, Turtle Wax. If we can remember that sponsorship from like a year ago, I believe it was.
That was Rocket League.
Yeah, that was Rocket League. Like, no, there was an LOL team that had Turtle Wax.
No, Team Vitality's Rocket League team. I'm very confident. It happened in June 2018.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Google this real quick.
Yeah, go look it up. I'm pretty sure. I think it was Team Vitality, or it was Renault Vitality, I think was their name. Rocket League sponsorship, June or April.
Optic Gaming.
What? Mm-hmm. For League of Legends?
Optic Gaming. Let's see. Turtle Wax Cleanup Esports with Optic Gaming. That was their first version. That was their Call of Duty team. They went to...
I don't think they're in League of Legends.
Hold on a second. I just said their Call of Duty team. That was a while ago. And then there was, let's see here.
Squirtle, great one in chat. I do remember that.
Had Tinder sponsor? Yes, that was that's Trojan. True. Yes. That's very awkward. Splice. In 2018, March 27, 2018, announced a partnership with their League of Legends team for Turtle Wax.
Not their Rocket League team.
Their League of Legends team. That is according to their press release.
Wow, that is a slippery snake over there, friends.
So yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a little more reasonable than Car Wax for a League of Legends team. I would agree. For a Rocket League team makes complete sense. It goes hand in hand almost. But... It's just weird. It's weird. Like, I don't know too many 16-year-olds that are waxing their cars, if they even have a car. It's just weird. But this one actually makes somewhat sense.
Well, one that could be really exciting, John, NHL Esports. So we do have a bit of a teaser coming out from the Capitals today. We don't really know exactly what it is. The Capitals ran an event last year. They ran a 1v1 tournament as well as a 3v3 tournament. Do you think this could be a teaser for more NHL Esports to come?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it has to be. I mean, when you take a look at some of the major sport leagues out there, there's a lot of hype surrounding NHL. You know, hockey is an international sport. You know, it's bigger. You know, it's big in North America, but it's also big in Europe and Russia. And you know, it's one of those titles where if the NHL was going to get involved in it, this would be a perfect opportunity, Joey. I mean, you mentioned the Caps held a very successful esport, you know, Caps esport face-off last year. The winner took home like $5,000. I mean, it was a massive check. And then they came back for the Chell Classic against Tampa Bay, which was like a 3v3 tournament. And the 3v3 tournament was really exciting. You know, we got to cast both of them. And there was a lot of hype around it. I mean, we had like top 10 players competing on both teams, like international top 10 players. Playing for Tampa Bay and playing for Washington. And there was a lot of hype around it. There was a lot of hype, not just in the NHL, but around the world for that for that tournament. So if the Caps are teasing this, there's a good chance that there could be a major league announcement. There could be some kind of, you know, are we looking at like possibly a 3v3, Joey, like you said, announcement here, or a 3v3 league, or maybe an announcement of a collective 1v1, you know, league like we see with EMLS, where teams are signing one player and there's this collective league. You know, that would be really cool. So we'll have to keep an eye out on that. They are teasing quite a bit. And they have me all excited waiting to figure out what in the world they're teasing. So hopefully we might find out later this week. Fingers crossed.
Right. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. The professional scene right now, especially the one happening in Europe, is a 1v1 scene. But the Capitals did find a lot of success in that 3v3 scene. Just the exhilaration and the quick excitement, I think, John. It did go very quick. Matches went very fast. So from a viewership perspective, there's a few advantages and disadvantages. One, you're able to watch more matches quickly, but then on the other side, it does go very quickly, so you can only keep viewers engaged for so long because it just goes that quick. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there, but it's very exciting to see that the Capitals are looking more into NHL esports, and NHL esports as a whole, we would love to see a league in that area. The Overwatch League revealed more details about its plans for the 2020 season as well. And John, it's going to include a first-to-three format and a new mid-season tournament. I could not be happier about the first-to-three format. I feel like there were a number of matches last year that really did not need a fourth map. It felt like, hey, you've been dominated. Let's play one more map so you can get dominated again. It didn't really feel necessary. Yeah, you can argue like that extra game on the standings. I didn't go back and do the math, but I feel like almost every one of those 3-0s was pretty much over and ended up being 4-0s. I can only remember a couple that ended up losing that last map, and it's pretty much because they're checked out anyway at that point.
Yeah, I think this is a smart move. That fourth game was more like salt in the wound than anything else. Very few games went, you know, four games to tie it up 2-2 and force a fifth game. I think this is a smart move. It's going to help cut back on the viewership time, which was something a lot of people complained about, the fact that, you know, for one series it took like an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. You know, it really depends upon how long, you know, the maps went in, and if it went into overtime, it felt like it just constantly went on and on and on. You know, it got better in the second season, the second go around. They kind of figured things out a little bit more, but I'm happy for these quality of life changes for the viewers as well as the players going into season three with that first to three. Or is it first to three or best of three?
It is first to three. First to three format.
Okay.
Each map will open, or each match will open with control. And then from there, teams will play hybrid, assault, and escort in that order. We do have belief that push is coming soon. I think it's going to be about another year, though, before we see Overwatch 2 get released. Maybe a little sooner than that, but I don't think we'll have push at the beginning of the season.
Push is going to be awkward when it comes out.
I'm excited for push, dude. I don't remember the name of it. It was like War or something like that is what it was called in Call of Duty 3. Mm-hmm. And there were 5 points, and everyone started at the middle point. And then from there, they could push. And if they captured the middle point, they went to the opponents. They had 2 other points. So from there, they had to capture. And it was like Tug of War. Tug of War might have been the name, actually. It was tons of fun, though. There's a lot of action. And the teams have to make the decision. Do we push up on the point? Do we camp between points and wait to ambush them? There's a lot of different tactics that can be involved with it. And I think for a team or a league like Overwatch League with pro players that hit shots that no one else seems to be able to hit, there's a lot of options for Widows in particular to really find some crazy cool snipes if they sit between points. But then again, you risk pressure having on the point if you do things like that. So I think it opens up for a lot of different tactical changes between teams. On top of that, we do have the mid-season tournament. So it looks like All-Stars and a mid-season tournament. All-Stars has been there previously. After week 12 of the season, we'll take an All-Stars break for festivities. And then the mid-season tournament will feature the top 4 teams in the league, the top team from each conference, and the next best 2 teams after that. So similar to a lot of ESPN fantasy football leagues out there for those that play. I like this move as well. I think one of the cool things about esport leagues in general is having the ability to fight against those best teams, whether it be international or whether it be from other conferences that you don't necessarily get to play throughout the season. I think this is one way for Overwatch teams to continue to really get used to the tournament format. Maybe they're a team that doesn't necessarily always make great runs in the playoffs. Having an extra tournament where they can get extra practice in that playoff format could be a huge, huge difference come grand finals later in the year.
Yeah, and I think this is something that the NBA 2K League does very well, is those like mid-stage, mid-season tournaments, you know, allowing these teams that may struggle in that league, you know, play format, the opportunity to still qualify for playoffs. So, you know, in season one, you saw Knicks Gaming absolutely horrific in the regular season, but they were able to win one of the tournaments and ended up running the table in season one, being your season one champions for, you know, Knicks Gaming there. And they would have never had that opportunity if it wasn't for those mid-season tournaments, so those in-between stage tournaments that the NBA 2K League does. So I feel like, you know, that was a great example, and I love the fact that Overwatch League is taking a look at doing something like that as well, going into Season 3.
Okay, this next one I have a few mixed thoughts on. I'm curious to get your take. The Chinese government has announced a program that will not allow minors to play video games for more than 90 minutes on weekdays and between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. Any day of the week. I'm a little mixed on this. What are your thoughts overall at the beginning here?
Joey, I had to bite my tongue on that whole, like, Blitzchung, like, Hearthstone ban and everything, and I'm going to have to bite my tongue here again. This comes down to the style of government that China is currently under. This is government trying to control their people, and that is the Chinese government. That's what they do. It's not surprising. I think it's stupid. It's going to hurt their economy, but their economy is in so much better shape. I don't like it. I mean, again, I'm also a Westerner. I don't like it at all. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think that the government should have that kind of power to crack down on when and when you can't play video games. And, you know, I am holding myself back a lot right now. I don't like it. I think it's dumb. I'll leave it there.
Okay, so I don't like it either. I'm not a fan of it overall, but my mixed side of it is trying to think of how to approach this best. I don't like the idea of the government limiting stuff like this. At the same point, I kind of get where they're coming from in the sense that I don't think kids are addicted to video games over there. I do think they play them quite a bit. I think one of the keys here is to focus on studies a bit more during the weekdays, and I'm okay with that. I think 90 minutes on weekdays is a bit too limiting. I think 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. is a bit too limiting. I think if they cut these back, I'm a little bit more willing to accept this. Again, if I have a choice, I don't think any government control should be there. But at the same point, I think these are somewhat reasonable with certain aspects. I think if you cut it from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., and then maybe 8 a.m. to 5 or 4 a.m., somewhere in that time, it's a bit more reasonable. Cut 2 to 3, 4 hours off of that time limit. And 90 minutes per weekday, I think you need to increase that as well. I think maybe 2.5 to 3 hours is a bit more reasonable. Again, I'm not for regulations. I think this should be completely unregulated. At the same point, I think the government has some good intentions behind this. I want to believe they do. It's hard to do that with some of the ways that China takes these regulations sometimes. Yeah, I feel like this is just too limiting with what it gives. 90 minutes on weekdays seems unreasonable. I mean, that's maybe 2 games of League of Legends if they go long. Like, if you're trying to become a pro player, that really cuts off that pathway to do that. I get increasing the studies, but 90 minutes is too much. So I really don't want to see any limitations, but if you're going to do limitations, I think you need to cut these back and increase some of the time as well.
You don't do limitations at all. You let the people have free.
And I said that. I mean, if 100%, yeah. I can't take down a giant like that personally.
No, you can't. But it's like, but that's the issue here, though, is that, like, for. I'm just going to stop. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but it's like one of those things where it's like, this is absolutely ridiculous that in 2019 we still have governments controlling. They are literally like my boss at work, micromanaging everybody. You cannot micromanage a nation. You can't micromanage people. It just, it's not cool. That's not the way it works. Again, coming from a completely Western ideology here, I get it. It's fine. But I'm not cool with this whatsoever. I don't think there's any way you can justify things like this, because if you're limiting something in the grand scheme of things as dumb as when you can and can't play video games, what's next? Like, that is horrific. It is just absolutely dumb. And I would love to have a government that has everything so much under control that this is their main focus when their people play video games. Like, what government in the world doesn't have issues that they really need to take care of other than focusing on when the youth are playing video games? I think that's just...
Right, and I think there's healthier alternatives as well. Obviously, the whole government control, and we can only say so much in that aspect, but when it comes down to it, I think there are other alternatives and other ways that they could approach this. One in particular, I think, is supporting high school esports programs and middle school esports programs, finding good coaches for those programs and allowing them to train these kids. Kids should not be playing for 10, 15, 20 hours a day. It's unhealthy to do that. I don't think the government should regulate that, though. I think good role models out there, particularly coaches at these levels, would be a good way to do that. They can find a healthy balance between completing schoolwork, playing games, at least on a competitive aspect. Again, that comes into the whole free time, how you want it type of thing. And that's really should just be limited by yourself and your parents. And we could go on and on about this whole thing. But I think there's better ways for China to invest their time and money. If they really want to have kids focus more on education, I think there's other ways to go about that than doing complete rule bans like they did here.
I'm kind of curious as to what their research shows in regards to the average time the youth are playing video games per day. Because, you know, again, having grown up in Korea, and it was the same in Japan, granted, I didn't study, you know, Chinese history and modern day history or anything as much as I did in Korea and in Japan. But academics over there is on a whole different level than it is here in the Western world. Like, their academics are incredibly serious. Like, you cannot become a functioning member in society if you do not get to university. It's very difficult. So I would be kind of curious as to see, you know, the average time that a youth is playing video games in China with such strict educational standards already. I would find that hard to believe that parents in China, realizing the importance of education, especially in a country like China, and the impact it can have on their family and on their social status and on their job once they graduate from school, how much free time they actually have to do that. So I'm kind of curious as to that. I don't think we're actually going to see fair research presented on that from the government there. So it'd just be kind of interesting if there's an independent study out there that actually showed that.
100%. So stay tuned to that one. And maybe you can find more news on Juked. Say hello. Juked is now in open beta and will serve as a full esports event calendar, everything in one place. John, this has been something that the esports world has been looking for a while. At least a few people like you and I in particular. A number of people out there choose to only follow one, maybe two, three titles at most. You and I try to follow a lot more titles than that. So something like this is almost a godsend for us.
Yeah, and hopefully if this pans out, I want this to be open to local markets also. That's something that, especially in the DMV area, you know, an area obviously Joey, you and I are very active in. And that's one thing that we would absolutely love. It's kind of like a local esports calendar as well. There are so many great gaming centers and gaming cafes and gaming lounges and gaming centers like the Game Gym. There are so many events in this area, like, let alone, Joey, this past weekend, we mentioned it, WizDG and the NBA 2K League had an event on Saturday, and DC United had one on Sunday. You know, how many people knew that? If there was a centralized calendar in the DMV area, or in the LA area, or in the San Francisco, or New York, or Dallas, Texas area, that could be such a beneficial tool for gamers and esports fanatics alike to really get more involved in the esports scene, potentially up their competitive nature, their competitive level, and who knows, maybe practice to the point where they can go pro by going through some of these more amateur scenes. So I like to see that on a national level and on a regional level as well.
Internationally speaking, PlayStation Worldwide Studios president Shuhei Yoshida has stepped down. Guerrilla Games co-founder will replace him. Yoshida will lead Sony's new PlayStation initiative that will focus on external independent developers. His role is going to involve ensuring these creators have the tools, technology, and services necessary to develop excellent titles for PlayStation. We do have that it's a new position. The area that he's working in is not necessarily new. It is something that Sony has had before. I believe it was actually Microsoft that scooped in and took their person from that area, the lead person, the executive producer. At the same point, I really like that PlayStation is really reinvesting into indie titles. I really love indie titles. I think Nintendo and Microsoft have done a really good job in that area. PlayStation has done a very, very strong job, or very, very good job, as far as those first-person, first-party titles, where they've brought in stuff like God of War. Wow, I'm blanking. Spider-Man is a big title recently. God of War won Game of the Year. Give me some more PlayStation. I'm not a PlayStation guy over there. Come on, John. What do you got?
Oh, no. I want you to struggle.
Uncharted.
This may be the first time you've ever been positive to Sony on this show, so I want you to struggle.
That is not true. That is not true. I mean, Uncharted's another big one over there. They have a number of big titles. Sony has killed it this generation with first-party titles. Now looking to next generation, Xbox has a whole lot coming out. Nintendo has a whole bunch of titles worked out. I'm excited to see that PlayStation's jumping into the indie realm as well. They're saying, hey, we're not only going to compete with first-party titles, we're ready to jump in and support indie developers more as well. And I think Yoshida is a great person to make that charge. He's been with Sony worldwide for so long now. He did a really, really good job, especially in this recent generation of the PlayStation 4, leading them at Sony Worldwide Studios. Now on top of that, you have Guerrilla Games moving in. If I remember correctly, Guerrilla Games was the developer of Horizon Zero Dawn. Does that sound right?
I believe so.
Come on, Sony fanboy.
Sony fanboy doesn't mean I live, breathe, eat, and sleep Sony.
Okay, I believe Guerrilla Games made Horizon Zero Dawn. Chat can double check me on that one. So that was a great title. It came out and absolutely killed it. I don't think it won Game of the Year, but it was definitely nominated. Guerrilla Games is one of those real studios that's pushing the limits, just like Naughty Dog over there under PlayStation. I think bringing in the head of Guerrilla Games to lead this charge is a really good move. And one of the things I really like in relation to this, compared to all these other big moves Sony's making, is with Sean Layden, he's no longer with the company. In this particular move, we see Yoshida staying with the company. It means it was somewhat more friendly. I don't know if he got moved down, if he got escalated, or if he got a lateral move. At the same point, you're retaining a talent like Yoshida here, which is a really, really good move. I'm a little jealous you can mute your mic for that cough. But Guerrilla Games coming up to step in and support him, I think, is a good move as well. Horizon Zero Dawn, like I said, killed it. And I think they have a really future-focused approach that's going to really benefit PlayStation and Sony Worldwide Studios.
And just like that, they would have never known I had to mute my microphone for the cough unless you called me out on it, Joey. I do.
Well, I'm jealous that I can't. So come on, bro.
Well, I mean, level up.
Oh, well played. Hashtag Joey pun almost.
Hashtag I'm going to go drink myself to sleep after this now.
Anything else on the Sony moves?
No. I like the fact that he's staying within the studio, within the Sony ecosystem. Microsoft has been poaching everyone. So when I first heard the news, I was terrified that he also got poached. But I'm glad to see that he's just being reassigned, really. I'm curious to see how this is going to go forward. But I'm excited for indie titles coming back as a main focus. Kind of like just not reinventing, but kind of refreshing that department now going forward. So really cool to see that.
And this next one in the mobile/console wars, we have the Razer Jungle Cat releasing as a handheld Xbox option for Project xCloud, which is Microsoft's streaming service coming out very soon. John, if you go ahead and look this up, Razer Jungle Cat chat, feel free to jump in as well, listeners too. Okay. It looks like a Nintendo Switch. This is legit Nintendo Switch Joy-Cons, if you ask me, that Razer completely copied over and made a little more Xboxy.
Xboxy?
Yeah, I'm going with Xboxy. Look it up in your Merriam-Webster.
Oh, let's see here.
It's a Nintendo Switch. I mean, there has to be some kind of copyright law with this. I hope Nintendo is getting some kind of payment.
I think the way they're going to get around this is the locations of the joysticks.
That could do it.
They're going to have that. The letters of the buttons, I think they're going to get around with that. And I think the fact it's not the same colors, it's you can easily tell the difference between the two. These actually look like they might be a little bit thicker than the Joy-Cons for the Nintendo Switch. I do feel like there's probably going to be some kind of lawsuit or some kind of out-of-court settlement for this. Because like there is a lot of similarities between the two. But I feel like there's enough differences that they're going to be able to squeeze by. I don't think they would have even gone into the R&D phase, or the research and development phase of this, if they didn't check with lawyers already in regards to it. And they're not the only ones doing this. I was just in the Apple store the other day, and they have something like this that looks very similar to the Joy-Con and to the Razer Jungle Cat that you can use on an iPhone or an iPad. So it's, I mean, when you make something great, people are going to copy it. It's, you know, they say, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery, but you know, it's, I feel you, Joey. It feels like there's going to be a lawsuit with this. It really does. But I feel like there's enough differences that they can get around it.
And it's interesting. I want to know how much Xbox had to play with this. It's completely branded as Razer. This is not Xbox branded in any way. The closest thing you could argue is that the gamepad matches the Xbox with the XYAB control set. The start and select are same as an Xbox controller as well. When it comes down to it, this is a very, very, very big move overall. Not only does this give Xbox more ground to compete with the Nintendo Switch outside of IPs, but it's also saying, hey, Google Stadia, we're really ready to compete. Not only can you stream your game and play it on your phone with controller attachments, you can play it completely on your phone with a Nintendo Switch-like controller attachment. So I think this is a huge, huge advantage for xCloud in the market. If you add it to me, I think it's actually going to launch next week, maybe the following week. XO19 comes up next week, and we're about to talk about that next. I really could see them launching xCloud publicly or very close to publicly by the end of the year.
That's a courtside king bomb right there. My goodness.
I really think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen next week, and I think they're going to cut right into Stadia profits right up front.
You heard it right here on the Level Up podcast, folks.
I hope it happens. We'll see what happens, though. Speaking of Xbox and Microsoft here, Microsoft's Xbox XO19 event is set to kick off this week with a number of announcements set to air on November 14th. It will include 12 Xbox Game Studio titles. We know there's somewhere upwards of 20 in the works. Only about half of them have been announced, if even half so far. On top of that, they're still hiring for a ton of positions, so they are looking for more titles as well. New PC and console game reveals for Xbox Game Pass. I know a number of you in chat are Game Pass subscribers. You have new titles coming to PC and Xbox this week. On top of that, we have big Project xCloud news. We don't exactly know what that is. If you're me, I think it's a tease saying it'll release before Christmas this year, possibly this upcoming week. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited, to be completely honest. I really want to see Xbox compete at the highest level. And for gamers in general, I want to see great games come out from PlayStation, from Xbox, Nintendo. All of these really feeding into PC. We already know every single Xbox game is going to PC this next year as far as exclusives. We know Sony is releasing games there as well. Death Stranding coming to PC a few months after it just released on PlayStation. This, to me, is the perfect time to be a PC gamer. And not only that, but now a mobile gamer as well, with streaming services like xCloud, like Google Stadia. There's so many more options out there for gamers, and I really think this is just gaming continuing to go up. Yeah, China has its regulations out there, but over in the United States, we can game on. League of Legends, John, Worlds. We're not going to talk about Senna this week. I didn't put her in the notes as we are running out of time. We'll break down her kit once we both have had a chance to try her out. The new fun little support over there in League of Legends hitting live right before the ranked season ends, because why not, Riot? Let's just throw a new champion there to mix things up and drop ELO quickly. Final results for Worlds, though. Hey, I'm not salty at all. 3-0, G2 lost. John, G2, the powerhouse team, the team going for whatever they were calling it, the gauntlet, the series, the Grand Slam. I think it was the Grand Slam. They got Grand Slammed, all right. Phoenix smashed them 3-0 in this one. I have to think about this a bit. The song, the theme for this year was Phoenix from Riot Games. I don't want to say it's scripted, but hey-o, Phoenix just straight up dominated and looked like they rise from the ashes of Group B to come out on top over here against a powerhouse team in G2.
I believe, what, this was the second year in a row a European team got 3-0'd in the finals?
Ooh. Not only 3-0'd in the finals, but to a Chinese team in the finals.
Yeah, and who got 3-0'd last year? It was that one, the Hello Kitty team, right? Yeah, Fnatic. Look, so...
Wait a minute there, buddy. Who did Fnatic beat in the semifinals to make it to the finals?
Let me finish my statement. Joey interrupting is very bad, and I do not appreciate it. My statement was as follows. EU is showing how strong of a region they're growing into, making it to the finals 2 years in a row. Thank you. Beating my beloved Cloud9 last year, and Cloud9 not really doing anything this year. But yes, Scorsel in the chat, NA still undefeated in playoffs. Yes. No comment. It's so true. But yeah, it's a great sign for the LEC going forward. They're strong, they're competitive. Just unfortunate. They're not quite there just yet. Fnatic last year, incredibly well. Fnatic fell just short this year's go around. G2, incredibly strong. A lot of people had them in the finals from the get-go as a very strong roster playing out of their mind for most of the year. They developed into a real powerhouse. That's something I love about the LEC is that G2 Fnatic rivalry. The fact that it still feels like it's still up in the air between those two teams at least. And there's usually one or two other teams that kind of make a wild run at that top three spot, also kind of giving Fnatic and G2 a little pressure from behind. This is great for Western League of Legends teams being able to compete on a high level, making again to the finals 2 years in a row. Really, the Western world has kind of struggled since season one when Fnatic won the entire thing. But also, asterisks next to that, you know, the Asian teams were not there. You know, the Asian markets were not in season one. So who knows what that would have done? Take the asterisks away. Fnatic is still season one champions. So it's good for the LEC. It's good for the Western world. North America is still falling behind there. They really need to pick it up. But, Joey, it was a backhanded compliment while European teams did get swept 2 years in a row now. It's still a good sign for how strong Europe has evolved into over the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think the thing to look at most is not only Europe doing well, but the fact that South Korea has fallen. South Korea has not been in a finals 2 years in a row now. It's been China versus Europe. It was IG versus Fnatic. Now it was Fun Plus Phoenix versus G2. South Korea falling short once again in a semifinal matchup. This time G2 taking down SKT. I believe it was 3-1. And on the other side, we did have Fun Plus moving past IG. That is huge to me. I mean, you look at SK Telecom, they come out with a stacked roster. Their substitutes were better than most NA and EU teams' main rosters. It was disgusting the amount of firepower they had in their sub bench. I mean, whew, that was a gorgeous, gorgeous substitution bench. But when you look at it overall, it's still them falling short. They play such a calculated style over in South Korea. It's so vision heavy. When teams play against that, particularly roaming supports, I think is a very, very big difference maker. And really, when jungles change up their pathing a lot, it throws South Korea off. A team like SK Telecom, they can path a jungle well, but when they start getting thrown off and they don't find the vision that they need to, they're not able to lay that massive vision advantage, they're not able to take those early barons and just start pushing down towers, it really throws South Korean teams off. We saw it over again this year, just as we did last year. China, on the other side, China seems to find godly mid laners. I mean, Caps is amazing. Caps does extremely well, arguably the best mid laner in all of Western League of Legends, and he's fallen to Rookie last year, and he's fallen to Doenbi this year. And it happens over and over. Obviously, the West cannot win through mid lane, John. That's what we're learning here. When you look at G2, their roster was star-studded. It was stacked. Fun Plus Phoenix, we've heard of them because they led the LPL. They beat out teams like Invictus Gaming. But overall, we didn't know many of their players' names. We knew Doenbi. We knew a few of the other ones here and there. But when you look at it overall, they were a roster of no names to most of the world. They were not huge superstars like Faker, like Mata, like all of these other big names we already know, but they got the job done. They won Worlds, and not only did they win, they straight up swept G2, a team that could flex a player or a champion like Pyke anywhere they wanted, a draft that really could play anywhere. I mean, G2 was one of those teams, regardless of what they drafted, they found a way to dominate on it, except in this final. This final and up against Griffin towards the later stages of the group stage, G2 got whacked. They got whacked again here. Instead of G2O, it is G03. Ouch. A few more stats for Worlds. LWX, the ADC for Fun Plus Phoenix, became the first player in Worlds history not to die a single game in the final. I mean, that is freaking incredible to me. I can't imagine being any player and not dying a single time. I might be able to break that record if I sit in the fountain the whole game. I mean, like, come on. I don't care if you're the winning team or the losing team. To not die a single time in three games, that seems absolutely incredible at this highest level of gameplay.
I mean, I get pretty excited when I have, like, three or four death games. Like, I've had a handful of deathless games, but I don't think that really counts. Bronze and silver does not compare to the world's stage, especially
but if you
even finals?
Had three in a row, even no. Against Scrubs, I don't think I've had three deathless games in a row.
That's true. I don't think I've even had two in a row. I think it's been like a game where like I pop off and go like 10-0-18, and then the very next game I even it out by going 126-7. So I feel like I'm very good at leveling those really good games out with really, really bad games to immediately follow.
Okay, chat wants to know if ARAM counts. No. I definitely did not have 2-0 death games in an ARAM in a row. Are you kidding me? Do you even team fight?
Like, deaths in like, ARAM on, are actually a good thing. You get to go back and spend your gold. Like, yeah, like, don't get me wrong. There's something to say for that one person that doesn't have a death like 18 minutes into an ARAM, and they only have like their starter item, maybe some health pots, or if they were being fancy aggressive, they went with boots to start out. And they're still killing people, and you're just like, what in the, how is this even happening? Like, I've died 4 times. I've gone back. I literally have like a death cap, and I still can't kill this guy. Like, no, ARAMs don't count. Deaths in ARAMs are actually a good thing. So
okay,
no.
Chat just pulled out the Karthistan spawn.
Karthistan, no.
Just tilts me.
The cooldown on his ultimate is what, like 5 minutes? And got, again, the other people die. What do? They go back and get magic resist. And guess what? You don't build up your AP whatsoever, so your ultimate is still useless. So yeah, camp in spawn all you want. You're not going to do anything past the 10-minute mark.
And last but not least, John, we have Tien, the jungler for Front Plus Phoenix, winning the MVP this year. I believe this is the second jungler in a row, and arguably I would argue the third, because Samsung Galaxy should have had Ambition win the MVP award as well. They gave it to the AD carry. Ambition was definitely the top player in my opinion. So really the jungle making a huge difference in these finals. In general, the jungle has really turned it on in finals in the past year. Really creative pathing has been one of the reasons, but the early ganks, it seems a team that really gets those early ganks going on very quickly, and that strong dragon objective control or Rift Herald objective control that they can turn around in the early game seems to be a huge, huge difference maker in finals. So if you're going to finals, if the meta stays somewhat similar, it's time to play that early game and be a champion of it.
Going back to the other topic, chat wants to know, is playing against bots count? I'm going to say that might be the only time I've gone deathless is against bots back to back to back. So I'm still going to go ahead and say no, because even the advanced bots are still like iron two at best. So I'm going to go no. Squirtle's killing me, I swear. Are we ending the show, Joey?
I think we're ready to end it on that one. I think we got some bot games ahead of us. See if we can go with the zero deathless streak or three games of zero death.
Maybe Squirtle wants to join us in some bot games and we can all brag about how we went deathless 3 games in a row. Oh, my God. So I hit the right button here. Oh, there we go. That's a little loud. We'll turn that down just a wee bit. Nation, that will do it once we get the volumes down the right. That will do it for another episode of Level Up Podcast. Before you go, head over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get unless they're a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to reach us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and the show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. If you're listening to this show, come catch us live Monday nights around 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online, and as always,
level up.